Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the E2G Sports Network. One of the newer shows. Well, finally getting on. A couple of weeks we haven't been able to get on, but the day three pick draft show. Just to take it back, of all the people I've worked with in this company and all the people that I've built relationships with, I've worked at sports radio, people I've found on LinkedIn who have come to work for the company the whole bit, Pat Schuster is the guy I've known the longest. It's like unreliable. It's like I always know I can count on Pat Schuster to like have a take, have thought on the draft, and I've been trying to drag him back into the game for the last few years. Well, I finally succeeded here at E2G. So let me introduce Pat Schuster, who I've known for about 20 years. He is a good friend. We've gone to the NFL draft together. We get together. We talk about our families. Only met one time in person, but Pat, welcome to the day three pick draft show and to the E2G family.
Thank you, buddy. It's been a nice ride together. It's funny that it's a new show, but we've done this a few times together at different venues and different stops, and looking forward to discussing my favorite time of the year, especially this year with day three picks that may have been day two or day one picks had a full season been able to go on. But I look forward to teaming up again with you and taking over, you know, discussing all the football topics and everything as we head up to the draft and what's going on with the NFL. And, you know, it's a 12-month event anymore in the NFL. And this draft is going to be one that is for the books because I can't imagine what a scout's life is like now, trying to get a scouting report from one or two games or somebody sitting out of season. So I look forward to diving into all that with you over the next few months.
Sounds perfect. And the way I'm putting it, I just kind of formulated this thought while you were talking, is that this year with, you'll always remember 2020 holidays as the COVID Christmas, how you didn't go out and buy stuff, how you got everything online. That's kind of how it's going to be for NFL teams at the draft this year. Like, it's not going to be the same. They're not going to be out there trying stuff on, picking stuff up,
right,
seeing what they like. They're basically just going to be ordering it online. The best equivalent I can put this to regular people who are just starting to get into the draft.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm 48. I've been following the draft religiously since I was 12 and studying, watching everything. I mean, I've written for Bleacher Report, NFL Draft Bible, you know, because it's such a passion, but this is like nothing else I've ever come across in the 35, 36 years I've been, you know, following this. And I mean, you know, on other stops together, you and I interviewed probably close to 300 kids before the draft, and you had full seasons of tape to go through and, you know, stories to talk. I mean, now it's, some of these guys are one hit wonders. They played one strong year. You know, somebody got in their ear and said, why risk it? Sit it out and see where you land. And, you know, not that I could blame them, but as a scout or as a football analyst, it's challenging. I mean, and you're going to see guys that are going to go, like we were just talking the one day, you know, where would Joe Burrow have been in this draft, you know, had he sat out, or last draft, if it was that he sat out or only played a few games. I mean, you know, you're going to get those kind of guys that'll be on somebody's bench for 2 years and get NFL coaching and then all of a sudden explode. And scouts will earn their money this year, and it'll be an interesting thing.
Yeah, and kind of the first shoe to drop of this whole bit. I mean, we got the order pretty much minus the last two teams who are playing in the Super Bowl next Sunday. But the big wrench and the big thing is Deshaun Watson and him officially requesting a trade today from the Houston Texans. And two teams at the top of his list are the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets. With the New York Jets being number one with Robert Saleh as their new head coach, he kind of wanted Saleh to be their coach. So it seems like a marriage that's eventually going to happen. It's almost like an NBA situation. You know what's going to happen. It's just a matter of, you know, what's it going to take to get. And unlike a James Harden trade, You know, it isn't going to be players, and it's probably going to be players and picks. And just off the top of your head, what would you give up if you're the Jets for Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic for the Texans. It's going to depend on what they like or who they like better. If the Dolphins will give them Tua and, you know, some picks, but I think, you know, if you're the Jets, you go all in. This is a franchise that has been snake bitten for how many years? I mean, how many draft picks, how many quarterbacks, how many, I mean, the, for the exception of the brief Parcells Testaverde years, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm 48. I don't remember them since Richard Todd being, a, you know, a real threat with the exception of the Bill Parcells time. So, I mean, if I were the Jets, I would go all in. And I think an interesting dynamic for the Jets would be if you give up your, you know, a, some of your draft picks, I mean, you give them the second pick, they can get a quarterback. And if you're the Texans, I don't think you play hardball. You finish lousy with Watson. I mean, there's a lot of other elements that were in there. He doesn't want to be there. If you can get the second pick in the whole draft and get a young quarterback who's going to be one-fifth the price, go for it. And if I'm the Jets, I do whatever it takes. I give up your, you know, your number one picks this year and additional picks next year. But my, the other dynamic that I was mentioning is Sam Darnold. There will be a market for him. I mean, you know, tell me Tampa Bay might not be interested in giving up a pick or two for him with the age of Brady that you could sit him on the bench for a year and get something for him. Or, you know, in Indianapolis, if they lose on the Stafford trade. So they could recoup some of those picks if they, you know, decide to go that avenue. I think if Watson didn't put himself on the market, the Jets would have been smart to stay with Darnold and add weapons around him. But I mean, when you can get a guy like Watson, a proven commodity that you're not hoping turns into something that you already know what he can turn into, you got to go all in and then give Darnold a fresh start someplace else to, you know, continue his career.
I ask you this.
Yes.
Deshaun Watson is in the 2021 draft. What pick is he overall?
It's interesting because with the way the NFL is now with mobile quarterbacks, it would – I think Urban Meyer would take Watson. It would depend on the team with the pick. But I think he would be one or two. I think him and his heir apparent with Trevor Lawrence would be – he would battle it out, but I think he would be one or two. How about yourself?
I'm totally with you. I don't think the trade will be made to Jacksonville, so I look at him as if I'm the Jets, giving up the number two pick is not a big deal because you would be getting the second-best player. He's already got
right.
NFL experience. You've seen what he can do. He had weapons
right.
taken away last year and still did all right for himself despite a 4-12
right.
team. And
right.
for the Houston Texans, a big part of this is Nick Caserio was able to recoup some of that draft capital that has just been basically thrown out with, you know, thrown out
right.
the baby with bathwater. I mean,
mm-hmm.
first and second round pick this year they don't have. And the Jets have
right.
two firsts because of the Jamal Adams trade and two firsts next year because of the Jamal
right.
Adams trade. And
right.
they're just – they're picking. You know what I mean? They got some
right.
picks.
Right. Get the proven guy, and he'll be, in a sense, the Pied Piper. You know, players will suddenly put the Jets on the free agent visit list to go play with Watson. Where, I mean, you know, Mark Sanchez, I mean, you know, Darnold. Like, none of it's just such a golden opportunity for the Jets to really finally make that step forward. It would, you know, and like you said, the Texans can then get some of their draft capital back and, you know, move forward with a new head coach, a new GM, and a quarterback that wants to be there rather than somebody that you're begging that, you know, you're going to give too much control to if you acquiesce to his demands and give everything back to him. And, I mean, you know, then who's in charge, the new head coach, the new GM, or the quarterback?
Now I look, you slide down one pick. You get the Miami Dolphins at 3 with Houston's original pick. They also have
mm-hmm.
Tua, the 18th
right.
pick, two second-round picks, and a third-round pick. Now,
right. now
does this
they,
come down to
yeah.
what kind of grade did Nick Caserio have on Tua coming out last year when he was with the Patriots? Does that influence
right.
whether they make a trade like that?
Right. I think it does. I think it does. I mean, because I think that would be your opportunity that you could say, okay, we like Zach Wilson or Justin Fields more than we like, you know, somebody else, or let's take what we can get from the Dolphins. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think if you're the Jets, you make it an offer that they can't refuse, because everybody else has had those legendary quarterbacks for a long time. I mean, you know, Mark Sanchez took the Jets into the playoffs, but I mean, what's he known for? The butt fumble. Like, I mean, the Jets have been the punchline, you know, of New York for way too long in the football world. So, yeah, I do think it does come down to the offer and what they think of which quarterback they want to go forward with. But I think the Jets to me just is like Anthony Davis getting traded from New Orleans to the Lakers. Like, that's where he wants to go. You can get a lot of guys back for him. It's one of those type of things that just make the move and let's turn the page.
Now, the only thing I wonder is, outside of draft capital, if they have interest in players. One of the players I had, would they have interest in having Darnold back from the Jets? I just don't see that. I see Darnold going somewhere else in a totally separate deal. Let me tell you, just somebody I talked to, the place I think Darnold's going to end up, I think he's going to be a Denver Bronco.
I can see that. Yeah, I mean, Denver has been another – that's an example, like we were saying about the Jets. I mean, they haven't been able to – you know, they rented Peyton Manning for a little bit of time, but they haven't been able to develop a quarterback. So that makes sense. I mean, Darnold, I think, has the ability. I think Darnold is as good as any of these other quarterbacks that are coming out behind Lawrence. And that's why I was saying before the Watson decision or news came out, I wouldn't have traded him. I would have stayed with him, taken, you know, the wide receiver from LSU or one of the Alabama wide receivers and build a team around him. But, I mean, if you can get Watson, forget it. So I think where you can get – now, where the Jets should do is wherever they can get the best offer for Darnold. Denver would be an interesting spot, though, because that kind of goes into the same idea that he's not super proven. And the thing that would scare me is – and I'm pulling for him, but Fangio might be in an 0-4 start – from getting fired next year. And then you're bringing in a new head coach who Darnold might not be his guy. So if I were the Jets, I would look for, you know, the best fit for Darnold. And that's why I was saying maybe, you know, Tampa Bay, give the Jets your 32nd pick, you know, or 31st pick in the first round next year for Darnold. And you know, you have him under contract for 2 years. And, you know, I mean, not that Tom looks like he's wearing down by any stretch, but it's a good, you know, future pick or future replacement there that learn from the GOAT and then, you know, possibly take over.
Yeah, that was kind of what they tried to develop with Josh Rosen until he got signed off their practice squad to San Francisco's active squad.
Brady might say next year is my last year. And then, you got Darnold, you know, and Darnold's going to be one of these guys like Steve Young with Joe Montana saying, I watched them. I learned. I mean, and, you know, take it to the next level. And he's a little bit more on the, I think, Arians kind of quarterback, a bigger, stronger guy to, you know, sling it like he had his success with Roethlisberger there in Pittsburgh and that kind of stuff. So that's just, you know, connecting dots, because I do think there's going to be more quarterback turnover this year than we've seen in a long time. Like Matthew Stafford going out of Detroit. I mean, you know, that's a guy who's been there for how long, and now at 32 is going to be at a new spot. I mean, it's going to be connecting the dots to people who and their former coaches going places to see who lands where.
Yep, that's a lot of it, is connecting the tea leaves and guys playing certain spots. And Nick Foles went to Chicago because of John DeFilippo. It's always good to know these connect these dots and guys knowing systems and familiarity and. That's
funny.
Very, very important.
I pointed that out to a friend of mine the other day, and when Haskins signed in Pittsburgh and all of them, the Steeler guys were texting me upset about it, he texted me and said, did you know Tomlin and Dwayne Haskins have the same agent? And it was like, very good. And that's what got Dwayne Haskins to sign in Pittsburgh, because his agent was saying to Tomlin, give my guy a chance. Come on, you could do it. Okay, here we go. And, you know, that kind of stuff. It's one of those things of, you know, a position coach in college goes to an NFL team. And then suddenly guys that he recruited and coached for the last couple of years are, you know, the guys that they sign, even if it's or draft in the fifth, sixth round, you know, guys that they're familiar with. I mean, you see that all over the place.
Yep. I mean, you're going to see a lot of the Matt Rhule guys probably go to Carolina over, and the LSU guys go with Joe Brady in Carolina. I mean, you just connect those tea leaves and figure out a general idea on some of these.
Yeah, now, I mean, it doesn't always happen, but there's countless times. And I mean, I, like I said, I've talked to people in the past, and I'm like, they're like this guy. And I'm like, you know why? The special teams coach used to coach him in college. Oh, okay. I mean, and then you find out, you know, and one of the examples, I mean, it was a disastrous one, but I had a bunch of Cowboy guys flipping out when the Cowboys took Maurice Claiborne a few years back. And they were like, why would they didn't even go see him. And I said, you know, you do realize, you know, the guys that were at that point, Les Miles had been a coach, an assistant coach with the Cowboys when Jason Garrett was a player. So they didn't have to go and see him. They got on the phone with Les Miles. What's he like? Oh, okay, thanks. They got the full report because of the previous connection of the head coach working for that franchise. So, I mean, that's just a commonplace type of thing that happens.
Yep. And a lot of that is good connecting. And speaking of coaches, what have you thought of the carousel this offseason?
Interesting, disappointing. Some that I like, some that are going to be interesting to watch. I think Urban Meyer in Jacksonville will be very interesting to watch. I personally think it's going to be a move along the lines of Jimmy Johnson, like with his ability of knowing assistant coaches and systems and success. But I don't think he's going to ever be long-term anywhere. I think it's going to be, hopefully he gets it in place. Smooth. Some of them, I mean, Bieniemy, I've heard other stories about Bieniemy in the past, and I'm, you know, I don't want to repeat, but sooner or later, you think he's going to get a shot by somebody. You know, I don't know. I think some of them were a little lackluster. I mean, you know, in Atlanta, they got a really good offensive coordinator, you know, or, you know, the Titans offensive coordinator in Smith. But, you know, it was mediocre, or I would say on the scale from 1 to 10, like a 6.5, 7. I thought there it could have been a little bit more creative with some of the choices. What did you think?
I felt bad for Detroit. I feel bad for that organization. Getting Dan Campbell and putting him on a 6-year deal, I just don't see that one working. I ask you about the Arthur Smith, the hire in Atlanta. Is he out looking for a quarterback who's going to play like Ryan Tannehill? Because he had success grooming Tannehill and that type of skill set. And is that type of skill set Justin Fields at number 4?
I think so. I think, you know, Matt Ryan, as soon as they can get him out of there, they will. Right now I was looking at the cap numbers and such. They can't really move him. But, yeah, I think it's like I was saying about Darnold going to Denver. I mean, you got to let Smith get his quarterback in place. He's a much more secure spot than a Fangio. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think Justin Fields is in play there. I think that's much more along the lines of the kind of quarterback he wants. And it would be, you know, ideally the type of Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Favre to Aaron Rodgers that, you know, let Justin Fields sit, learn, hit the weight room a little bit. You know, and when you can move on from Matt Ryan, you move on from Matt Ryan. And, you know, it's one of those type of things that makes a lot of sense to me.
Another team I'm looking at that didn't hire a coach was the Cincinnati Bengals with Zach Taylor. They're going to give him one more year, basically, with Burrow and probably go heavy on that offensive line, whether it's draft or free agency. I hear they're high on Joe Tooney to begin with. And someone like a Slater or a Sewell, if he slides to 5, is a definite pick in Cincinnati. They're going to do everything they can to keep the franchise standing.
Well, I think what you're looking at with Cincinnati, and you mentioned Detroit, these are franchises that aren't high-end choices for a lot of the top-tier coaches. I mean, I think Dan Campbell will be an interesting guy to watch because he was a fiery guy on the sidelines as a player, learning from Sean Payton. But the Detroit franchise, I mean, you know, they haven't had much of any success. So I think that it's a nice gesture that they're letting Matthew Stafford have a chance to move on and, you know, make a run for a playoff or go to a team. I keep hearing that Indy and Matthew Stafford, you know, connecting dots there with Philip Rivers moving on. But with Cincinnati, who wants to go to Cincinnati to be the head coach? I mean, Paul Brown, I remember hearing the story from a scout that said, would say the NFL, you know, every team has limos and drivers waiting for their staff at the airport for the Senior Bowl and the combine. And they said, Paul Brown or Mike Brown rents a car and all the guys get in the same car and they go. And it's like, you know, who wants to give up a really good job to go work for a franchise that, you know, is cutting corners and things of that nature. So I'm not surprised that they stayed the course. I mean, you know, only imagine what Marvin Lewis might have been like if he had been with a franchise that was a little bit more willing to spend money.
Yeah, you almost look back at that and go, wow, he got to the playoffs 5 years in a row with the Cincinnati Bengals and people
right.
make fun of him. Like, that's like
– right.
That's like things legends are made of right there.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know, you could say what you want about, but I mean, you know, certain owners and everything else like that. But I mean, you know, the Bengals are notorious for being cheap across the board and getting a head coach to go there. I mean, yeah, roll the dice again. I mean, with, you know, who you have in place, because it's, you're not going to have to pay out contracts. That's one less year of contracts you'll have to pay out if you fire them.
Yeah,
but
no,
it'll
totally
be interesting. It's going to be. I mean, and the thing is, you know, I mean, like you look at even some of the hires. Like, so much it comes down to. I mean, like I think the Redskins have finally, or well, I'm sorry, not the Redskins, but the Washington football team has finally got themselves on the right course. For years, they used to try to win free agency and outspend everybody, and then it was all guys past their prime, and they'd get hurt, and they, you know, inner fighting and all that kind of stuff, like. I think some teams are finally catching on that 85% of your roster has to come through the draft and, you know, the other 15% is free agency, not the other way around that some teams do and, you know, spend and spend and spend. But you got to keep your guys when you develop them, too. You don't let players walk out the door because you're being cheap.
Now, I look at Robert Saleh going to New York. Do you think he's one of those coaches that over the next 2 years, we see a lot of the pieces from San Francisco go to play for him?
Makes sense. Absolutely. Makes sense. I mean, I knew he'd be taking the offensive side from the coaching staff. And I think the players love him. And I think that's what I'm saying about going back to our earlier point. I mean, Watson wants to play for him. He's got that fiery personality. I mean, you know, the Giants are going to have to be worried because, you know, Daniel Jones, although Judge has surprised me with some of his attitude and everything else like that, I think the Jets, you know, if they can make the move to get Watson and then get some draft capital back, even if they have to spend a little bit more than they normally would have for Watson, players marching down out from San Francisco to come to New York and, you know, once and for all, the Jets can actually be a consistent force. I mean, I think the Patriots are going to be the Patriots should be a little nervous with
the success
the Bills had, the improvement the Dolphins showed, and if Watson ends up in New York, then the AFC East is no longer, not that it was this year, but it's not, you know, not something that they can just add a better quarterback in place and, you know, take back the title of it.
No, this is a really competitive division. And good coaches, if you look, all defensive-minded guys, just like Bill. I think it's going to be a strong defensive division. I think if they would have put together, like, you know, strength of offense, strength of defense in a division, I think the AFC East would rank up there in the next couple of years
right.
with the minds that we have on the sidelines right now.
Right. Now, what do you think of the Patriots, where they headed quarterback-wise? You're a little
Jimmy
more
Garoppolo.
Dialed in on that.
It's going to be Garoppolo. Yep. Yep, it's going to be Garoppolo, and they are going to spend a lot of money because I'm going to give you three reasons. One, in 2021, they play Tom Brady, and Belichick is going to want that game more than he's ever wanted a game in his life. Two, they have the least amount of real cash spending over the last 5 years, and they need to spend cash, and if they don't, they have to write a check to the NFLPA. And three,
interesting.
And three, just Bill wants to catch Don Shula so bad that he is not going to consistently be in losing seasons or go somewhere else and try to build a program again. He's going to try to retool. Kind of did what the Red Sox did last year with just better results. Go out there with a crappy roster, compete, get your cap situation straightened out, and, you know, look at 2021. And from what I've heard, the top free agent on their list is Curtis Samuel, wide receiver from the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, well, he never wanted to get rid of Jimmy G, if all the stories are true.
No.
That
nope,
was
never
not
wanted
his choice.
To. Nope, that
was
a power.
Which, this would be kind of his way of getting him back and being able to go down that road. I think in the Patriot system and all of that, he would work fine. I think you knew it was going to come to an end sooner or later. I mean, and I think you're probably right, because I think San Francisco is ready to move on. I think it'll be interesting to see who lands there in San Francisco. Like I said, I think there's going to be a lot of quarterback movement. I think if Atlanta could ever have dumped Matt Ryan back to Kyle Shanahan, they would. But the cap stuff is just too messed up for that.
The San Francisco situation,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to throw it out there, and it was from a pretty good source, too. The apple of their eye is Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is $25 million this year in regular money, but what he costs the Green Bay Packers is something like $37 million this year. So he's going to be looking for a raise. So they're saying all the right things now that they want to hold on to him. And, they'll never let him go. But I think ultimately there'll be a trade, and they'll say he forced his hand for the money reasons. And I see that 12th pick and a first-round pick next year going to Green Bay. And Green Bay piecing it together with a run game next year and Davante Adams, and figure out if Jordan Love's the guy, or you find a one-year guy like a Marcus Mariota just to, you know, wait for Jordan Love to develop. And I think Rodgers would be a good fit there. And think of all the talent they'd have: Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Kittle with Rodgers, Mostert. Like, that's a pretty damn good roster and a team that could compete to go to the Super Bowl and fight in that tough NFC West.
That would be interesting. Too bad they didn't realize that how many years ago when they took Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, yes. And, you know, he's going home.
Funny.
Type thing.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, he wanted to go there. He wanted to go there. It was funny. Go ahead.
No, how the world works out sometimes is just weird.
Mm-hmm. No, it was funny. I was listening to a radio, doing a little bit of homework. I let my nephew hear a few radio interviews that I used to do in the past. And I was, one of them that I was on was arguing the point that the 49ers made a mistake, that they took Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers. And my nephew was like, how did you know? And I'm like, just from watching it. And it's like, wouldn't that be funny if it wraps up that way and Aaron Rodgers ends there? But I think Green Bay would get a lot of bad press. It would be interesting. It could happen. God knows anything can happen with the world, the NFL, and the way the world is anymore. But that would be interesting. That would be one of the bigger surprises for me, to see Aaron Rodgers get let out of Green Bay to an NFC team.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for Favre to ultimately end up in Minnesota, but that was 2 years later.
Right.
The thing that helps get them out of...
Go ahead.
The thing that helps get them out of the shitstorm is the fact that they don't have an owner. Like, they don't have an owner they can yell at. Mm-hmm. Like, they got to all yell at each other in a room. This is your fault.
Right.
No, this is your fault. that's what makes this such a unique situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun to sit back and watch all of the, like, where does this guy go? Where does, you know, does the Cowboys keep Andy Dalton, or does he get a job someplace else? Where does, you know, Jacoby Brissett go? Does he land back someplace? Does he, you know, I mean, there's a lot of quality quarterbacks, some frontline starters and some solid number two guys. It's quite a game on musical chairs. Does Big Ben retire? Does Big Ben get cut? Will Big Ben take a pay cut worth, you know, enough for Pittsburgh to keep him? Does Pittsburgh decide to kind of do what New England did and say, you know what, let's rebuild and, you know, clean house a little bit? And being that Roethlisberger is owed like 40-some million dollars or something along those lines, you know, will they make a move? Will they get rid of somebody? It's going to be interesting when the official league year starts.
I guess you hadn't heard what happened today with Big Ben and the Steelers.
He said he would take a pay cut, I saw.
Yeah, Rooney basically, you know, we can operate at what we have him at. And he said right away that he'd take a pay cut. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think they'll try to get him to teach Haskins, maybe keep Mason Rudolph as a third, and, you know, one more year with him.
How much of a pay cut he's willing to take, though.
Yeah, yeah. That is,
you know,
that's
I'm willing to take a pay cut. Wait, how much? No, I don't think so. You know, he's not. Right. I mean, for them to get under and get away from that, I mean, you know, that would be interesting, you know, that he wants to go one more year. It'll all be, you know, it's easy to say that now and play the media game, just like the Jared Goff stuff. I mean, I heard that analyzed to death with the Rams, you know, them saying, oh, he's our quarterback now. And, you know, everybody said, well, you know what happened here? The Rams overpaid for him up front, and they called his agent and said, all right, we got to restructure his deal. And they said, no chance. And they're like, okay, now we're going to go to the press and say he might not be our quarterback. And, you know, it's that game of from now until the official league year starts, you'll see a lot of stories that are out there strategically placed so that the other shoe drops, so to speak.
Can Goff function without McVay? I almost feel like he's a like the ventriloquist to the dummy. Like, I can't even imagine those two separated. That would be something else.
I don't know. I think, I mean, again, you know, it's funny because the Cowboys get beat up on the Dak Prescott deal, saying that they're, you know, they'll say that they didn't want to pay him. And truth be known is they made a lot of contract offers. They just couldn't come to the right number. And they said, look, the Eagles paid Wentz and the Rams paid Goff. And then what do you hear? The Eagles don't like the deal they have with Wentz. The Rams don't like the deal they have with Goff. So it's one of those things that I'm not 100% sure Goff is really the ideal quarterback for McVay. But again, you know, it depends on who would want Goff and what kind of money they could restructure. When so many quarterbacks are in question, it's going to make her that much more of an interesting offseason. I mean, you could see a lot of movement, and that's, you know, from the number one most glamorous position in sports, to see that kind of activity is going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then we haven't even started talking about the rookies. We got a guest calling in, Eric Hindenburg from draftright.com. I just texted him to let him know to give us a shout in, and we'll start talking about the Senior Bowl and what he's seeing down there, because he's seeing the practices and we're getting an hour feed where 20 minutes of it is interviews with people from Reese's, and just we're not getting as much one-on-one as we got last year. That's what I'm finding with the NFL Network production this year. It's a lot more pushed towards the money side than it is the football side, and I'm not trying to take a shot. I do enjoy the product, but it's the truth. It's what's happening right now.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a weird – I'm just hoping for somewhat of life to be back to normal come the fall, and stadiums filled with people and college football seasons being a full season and everybody playing and nobody sitting out and that type of thing, because you don't realize how great it was until it was gone.
Absolutely. So he's calling in right now. We'll give a little intro. Eric Hindenburg. Draft right. He's down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Eric, you're on with Buddy Andrade and my guest, Pat Schuster, my co-host. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. So just how weird is it down there in the COVID world of scouting? Like, are there more scouts down there than normal and front office people? Because this is the only contact they can really have with the players outside of pro days. Or are they saying it's a normal crowd?
I mean, this is my first year here, so I don't really have anything to compare it to. But, I mean, everyone's masked up. The social distancing is, you know, taking part for the most part. You know, most of the media guys are on one side. You've got a lot of NFL and more important people on the other. But it looks like, I mean, I've seen people from pretty much every team at this point, so.
Go ahead, Pat.
No, I was going to say, anybody, what's stood out the most player-wise? Anyone you're surprised with so far?
There's been a few surprises for sure. One of the absolute biggest for me has been Dante Smith, an offensive lineman out of Eastern Carolina University. Wasn't really on my radar prior to this week. Hadn't watched any of his film. And he's going to be a day two pick. And he played his tail off. He went out there, he competed. And he was one of the biggest surprises of the week for me, for sure.
Now, I saw your post today about Baron Browning. He's one of my favorite linebackers in this class. Kind of get, not a definite Malik Harrison comparison, but a Malik Harrison feel to him. Do you think that's about where he's going to go? Is he earning himself more of a grade than being the 100th overall pick, which I believe Harrison was last year?
I think he's made himself more money than that. I really do. And I think once people see how insanely athletic he's going to test, I think it's going to cement that. I think Baron Browning is going to go top 50.
Nice.
Wow, I like
hearing
that.
Who are you most interested to see? Who did you come down looking to check out?
I wanted to get a really good look at Jamie Newman. I was really excited about, you know, what he would look like in that Georgia offense. And, you know, of course, he opted out. And, you know, I can't fault him for that, not a single bit. But it was a chance to get down there and see him, you know, live and in person. I also wanted to watch Alex Leatherwood out of Alabama. I wanted to see if he took inside at guard or if he stayed exclusively at tackle. And that was answered when he stayed exclusively at tackle through the bad, which there was some of, and the good, which, you know, today was the last day of practice. He had his best day overall. So those were two of the biggest I wanted to watch.
Now, what do you think of?
Oh, go ahead, Pat.
I'm sorry, but I was just going to say, because I'm a big fan of Leatherwood. Where do you see him? Do you think he will stay at tackle when it's all said and done in the NFL? Did he show enough?
I do.
Do you? Left tackle?
I think he'll stick at tackle, and I think he will play left tackle. You know, the thing with Leatherwood is, you know, he's inconsistent in his technique and some of his pass sets, and he's probably always going to struggle a little bit with the really speedier guys. Quincy Roche gave him fits day one and day two down here. You can just scroll through Twitter and you'll see someone, he got dusted by Roche, you know, two or three different times over the span of days one and two. But when he gets his hands on someone, you know, it's done with. He's a mauler in the run game. You know, he's light enough on his feet. I think with NFL coaching and adjustment, you know, I think he'll improve against speed. I think he's going to stick at left tackle, and I think he's going to get drafted significantly higher than, you know, what social media might lead people to believe right now.
Now, I've been seeing some of the catches Shai Smith has been making out there. Him and what other receivers are standing out, and where do you see them playing on the field? Who do you see as a slot guy, and who do you see as, like, a good outside guy at the next level who's down there at the Senior Bowl?
several receivers have really, really stuck out. Shai Smith has had his moments for sure, but Cade Johnson and Dwayne Eskridge absolutely stole the show. I think both of those guys have a really good chance at excelling in the slot at the next level. And then Frank Darby out of Arizona State, you could play him in the slot. You can play him outside. It doesn't really matter. He's a competitor. You can see him out there on the field. You know, he'll get to talking with, you know, whoever he's lined up with. And he's just a very energetic personality out on the field. And he played extremely well. One of the best route runners down here. Really strong hands. Had a few really nice contested catches. So I think Frank Darby really made himself some money as far as versatility goes. And then as far as, like, strictly outside, Sage Surratt out of Wake Forest, another opt-out. You know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, well, he can't separate. He can separate. You can tell that he's noticeably lighter on his feet. You can tell that he did not, you know, spend the year, you know, content with where he was. He's improved, even though he didn't play this season. He's noticeably quicker. He's noticeably crisper in his routes. And he is phenomenally contested catch situations. He's got great body control. So I would say Sage Surratt was probably the best boundary receiver down here.
Which Surratt's getting drafted first?
Chaz.
I got that feeling too. I totally agree with you. And during the BC UNC game, they were talking about him pre-meetings, how he said he was going to go before his brother and how competitive they were being down there. But to see them in the same draft class is pretty impressive things. Go ahead, Pat.
I was going to say, how any tight ends stand out?
Hunter Long, he was as advertised. You know, he's solid. He's a solid route runner. He's got solid hands. He's a solid blocker. I think he's going to be really, really good. Sorry, in the NFL. Trey McKitty definitely had his moments as well, and I'm going to get his name mixed up, I think, but Noah Gray had, like, the catch of the whole Senior Bowl today, actually over Hamza Nazruldeen in team periods today. So all three of those guys had really solid weeks down here, but Hunter Long is pretty clearly the cream of the crop down here, and, I mean, that's no surprise. He's one of the best tight ends in the whole draft, so...
What rounder, where do you think Long's going to go?
Well, that's tricky. You know, I think Pitts is a lock for round one. I think Freiermuth has a really good chance to go anywhere from the back half of round one into the top 50. And then after that, it's kind of going to depend on whether there's a run on receiver or a run on offensive tackle that might push Hunter Long down farther. If he's not taken by the end of round two, I think he'll come off very quickly in round three, at least, okay, you know, as things stand right now.
Right.
One of my 10 guys to watch coming into this was Alaric Jackson from Iowa. What are we seeing out of him, and what's his position at the next level?
Alaric Jackson, I'm not done with his evaluation. I don't want to speak out of turn. What I have seen, I haven't been overly impressed with. I don't think he's going to stick out at tackle. I think he's going to have to move inside the guard. Yeah, I don't want to speak out of turn, but he didn't have the best week down here, in my opinion.
No problem. That's what we have you here for. Don't feel bad at all. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I'm curious because it's such a speed game now anymore in the NFL. How have the corners looked? Has anybody really stood out from the senior group?
The corners, you know, down here in these all-star events, you know, they're put into such a disadvantage because there's so much one-on-one work and seven-on-seven. And, you know, that's geared for them to fail. But I will say that Aaron Robinson out of UCF absolutely showed out this week. He was the best corner down here. He was able to man up with Kadarius Toney one-on-one and hang with him, which with no pass rush against air, that's virtually impossible against a guy like Toney. And out of all the corners, he's the only one I'll mention because he was I mean, he was lights out most of the week. He played phenomenal football.
All right, just to reset for everybody, it's E2G Sports Network Day 3 Pick Draft Show. Buddy Andre, Pat Schuster, and our guest Eric Hindenburg from DraftRight. He's down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, checking all these practices out. I need to know about Kenny Yeboah. And the reason why is I saw that game against Alabama and just thought, who does this to Alabama? And I'm just curious where he stands. I know you said Hunter Long is standing out at tight end, but is there a spot in him as maybe more of a receiving move tight end, or can he play in line?
With Yeboah, it's interesting because he's a willing blocker, but he's not overly great at it. And he's a great receiver with his hands, but he's not overly athletic either. And I don't say that to say he's not an athlete, because he's an impressive athlete, but he's a little bit of a plotter when it comes to running down the field. And so I'm really not sure where to use him at the next level. You know, to put him in line, hope he gets, you know, better with blocking coaching. You know, you don't want to put him out in the slot because he's just not quite fast enough to create the mismatch. I think a really good example would be kind of how Philadelphia used Trey Burton. He's kind of in that same mold, in my opinion. But Yeboah's had his moments. He's had some really nice catches. He's got really soft hands. And obviously, you know, he's got great size, too. He's just kind of a weird skill set, if you know what I mean.
Yep. Yeah, not a real clear position, in a sense. Could do a little bit of everything. So how has – you said this was your first Senior Bowl. What has been the biggest surprise for you down there?
The fact that they let me in. But, I mean, in all seriousness, you know, I'm walking around and I'm seeing, you know, people who I respect so much. You know, people I've only ever interacted with online. You know, I'm seeing these guys down here and, you know, it's an incredible experience. You know, the chance to get up and watch these players up live, you know, hear them talk on the field, hear the difference in the coaching staff. Like, Brian Flores and Matt Rhule are two totally different people. You know, they run their practice different. They conduct themselves differently. The atmosphere between the two teams is completely different. So, you know, it's really been an experience. And, you know, I think next year when I come back, I'll be more prepared and more, not so starstruck, I guess, by some of the people who I'm walking past on the way to the bathroom, be like, oh my goodness, that was so-and-so,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Have you ever attended
incredible.
The draft?
Have I ever attended what?
The draft?
No, I've never made the trip for the draft.
We did in 2010.
I could commiserate because I had been to a few of them, and I know what you mean by the first time when you see people that you read about or talk to online, and all of a sudden they're standing next to you and that type of thing. It's kind of an overwhelming event, and good for you though. It sounds like you're taking it all in the right way.
Now, what's for breakfast? Like Reese's peanut butter omelet? I mean, is this just type of stuff that they're feeding you down there?
Man, I'm broke. I'm living off of Cheetos and Pop-Tarts. I splurged and got Whataburger on the way to practice today, but that's about as far as I've gone.
Well, I was wondering if they take care, because when I covered the Patriots, it was all, like, inclusive. I just figured Reese's Senior Bowl would be like Reese's mixed with... Yeah, well, you got a hamburger with a Reese's egg on top of it. I mean, just weird crap like that.
They've had concessions to the practice. I've actually not even gone up there. You know, I go to practice, I come back to my little Airbnb, and, you know, that's kind of been my week so far.
Cool. So, as final words, I'd like you to plug everything you do, is because we all are in this together, and many different minds see things different ways, and it's good to get an education. So if you could just plug yourself in every possible way, my friend.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. I've got a really great team at DraftRight. You know, we're doing what we can. We've had some technical difficulties, but my podcast was supposed to come back Monday, but road weary. He'll be back tomorrow since there's no practice to attend. That's going to be Heat with Hindenburg. It's available on Anchor, Spotify, the whole nine yards. Follow me at Twitter at Hindenburg Scout. I'd love to interact with you. Super thankful for you guys having me on, and let's definitely do it again.
Yeah, sounds right. Good. We're gonna be every Thursday. So get to know Pat too. If you give him a follow on Twitter, and you guys can get to know each other. And like I said, we're all doing the same thing. So it's good to be able to share knowledge and bounce ideas, because nobody's totally right and nobody's totally wrong is what I found out in this business.
100%.
All right, Eric. Thank you for joining us tonight. Have yourself a great Thursday. And
safe travels.
Enjoy that Whataburger if you got some leftovers.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So that was Eric Hindenburg from DraftRight joining us. I've had him on the podcast before. He's a great guy. They do great work over there at DraftRight. Good people. As much as we do draft work too, like I said, we're friends with NFL Draft Bible too, with the crew over there. We love those guys. You know what I mean? We're all doing the same thing, and I'm never been afraid to bounce ideas off other companies. Like, it isn't like, you know, we're out there as rappers.
It's a passion.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a weird family. It's a weird.
It is, exactly.
It's one big family, and you do, you know, there's one, it's like, you know, it's the draft family, and then you have each individual house, which is like DraftRight, E2G Sports, NFL Draft Bible, the Draft Network, all those. So you know how it is.
Absolutely. No, it's, you know, it's one of those things that, it's all like everybody has the same kind of, it's just a passion. I mean, like I said, that used to be the day that I was allowed to skip school was to go to watch draft from when I was 12. And, you know, it's just something that you either connect with and see the whole symmetry of college football, pro football, the whole, you know, how it all connects, or you don't, and you're just a casual fan. And when you do, it's great when you find the whole family of people that are in the same boat and have that same kind of passion for it.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely wonderful here. E2G Sports Network, Day 3 Pick Draft Show. Buddy Andre, Pat Schuster, wrapping up. We got a few minutes left here. Just to let you know, 8:30, our top-rated show. Yes, the Double Steel Baseball Show will be on at 8:30, right here on the E2G Sports Network. They'll unveil their next prospect to look out for this season and also go over the signings of this current week. And do we have something going on with Trevor Bauer? The guys, as you know, E2G stands for ear to the ground. They got their ear to the ground on the Trevor Bauer situation. So they'll have you looking out. And tomorrow, 1 p.m. on Old School, Curt Schilling. Yes. That Curt Schilling we've heard about all week with the Hall of Fame and, you know, is he being blackballed because of his political beliefs? He'll be on with Sunchips, Crow, and former MLB pitcher Ken Ryan at 1 o'clock tomorrow. So that'll be a very interesting take tomorrow. Basically, what I said to Kurt was, you get up to 2 hours and no filter. Say what you want to say.
Nice.
So we'll see what happens.
Must listen
there.
To.
Yeah, definitely a must listen tomorrow here on the E2G Sports Network. We are your unsung sports grid. Any final thoughts from our first show or anything from our interview that you kind of took for info on the Senior Bowl?
No, it's exciting. I mean, it'll be interesting to talk to him in the future, you know, once life returns to normal. But it sounds like, you know, things at the Senior Bowl were as close to normal as they could be for scouting and being able to view and track the players. So good to know that slowly life is returning to normal.
I think it's a trip for me next year. I have a house that was already offered me to stay at. So damn COVID this year, but I wasn't planned on going already, but I am next year. And
good.
The E2G team is looking to do the draft this year in Cleveland. I don't know what your schedule looks like. It might be a little tougher for you, but We'll discuss that off air, but
absolutely.
If it's a regular draft, the company covers it. How's that sound? So
there you go. Magic. Those are the magic words.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this has been fun, buddy. I missed it. You know, having a family and other activities going on, but it's great to be back doing this with you, and I look forward to the upcoming weeks and months ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we don't know what we'll talk. We'll probably review the Senior Bowl next week. Upcoming info. The Alex Smith trade went down the week of a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So I would not be shocked if we heard what the legwork of maybe a Deshaun Watson trade is in the next week. I would not be shocked
absolutely.
At all.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're going to see coaching staffs get filled out.
Yep. We'll see assistants. As a matter of fact, while we were on here, Mark Brunell got hired as the quarterback coach in Detroit. I got that Twitter alert. So Mark Brunell will be joining Dan Campbell's coaching staff out on the island of
Detroit. Along with Deuce Daly.
Yeah, and Deuce Daly's out there too. So he's bringing in guys who have played the game. So let's see if that's when we get to next week, Pat, let's see if that's what the Detroit Lions have become, which is they're bringing in former players as coaches and not guys who didn't play the game.
Right, and see what happens with Matthew Stafford. That's going to be key because it'll be interesting to see who he trusts to take over.
Yeah, who the next guy is and just how they built this whole thing and just what
exactly. Because Campbell, I mean, you figure Campbell was a Parcells guy and a Sean Payton guy and had a pretty nice career. So I'm pulling for him because I always liked him when I saw him play with the passion that he played with. And it'll be interesting to see what develops. I mean, it might be – I'm thinking of more of a Mike Vrabel type of hire, that he just has that kind of, you know, in your face and player's coach, so to speak. So it'll be interesting to watch and discuss. But
yeah, unfortunately, he caught a bad rap here in New England because 2015 when he was with the Dolphins, just – the continuous replaying of the quotes, "I'd bleed for you." He kind of seemed like a bro coach. The comparison that was made was Crush the Turtle from Finding Nemo.
Oh, okay.
Kind of how he talked. So I'm a little jaded here just with hearing those things. But like I said, I'll give everybody a shot. And it wasn't until Bill Belichick's second turn that he made it happen. So who knows?
Although – topic someday we have to go through his old Cleveland Brown coaching staff in front office. Anybody listening wants to do that? Google that. What his coaching staff and front office people were compared to and what their careers went to be.
Yes, and people who he started in the NFL with.
Mm-hmm.
With Ted Marchabrota and
that defensive coordinator he had though was pretty good with him in Cleveland. That,
Saban. They may have made a special about them.
His offensive line coach, Kirk Ferentz, and his tight end coach, Pat Hill, and his front office guy was that Pioli guy. And even the Eagles defensive coordinator was a defensive assistant there. Wasn't Jim Schwartz one of his assistants?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just one after another, Cleveland talk about jinxing themselves. Fire him and fire all of those guys.
Yeah, and win a Super Bowl 4 years later. That's classic.
Mm-hmm.
Classic stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Pat, thank you a ton. I'll wrap this up. The E2G Sports Network, this has been the Day 3 Draft Show. We will start mixing in calls next week, too. We had a guest this week. We kind of wanted to get our thoughts out. But we'll want to hear from you as we get closer to the draft. And you know, with the Super Bowl next week, we'll give you our picks on that next week, too. But for Pat Schuster, I'm Buddy Andrade. This is the E2G Sports Network. Stay tuned. The next show up, 8:30 p.m., the Double Steel Baseball Show here on the Awesome Sports Grid. Thank you for joining us. Have a great evening and enjoy the baseball podcast. Goodbye, everyone.